You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Liberace is arguably one of Wisconsin's most famous sons. He was a pianist, singer, and television pioneer. At the height of his career from the 1950s to the 1970s, he was the highest paid entertainer in the world. Yet there's no monument or even a plaque dedicated to his memory in his hometown, West Allis. Writer Tom Kircher researched Liberace's legacy in Wisconsin for his piece in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. He joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to explore what he found.
Liberace is one of those names, kind of like Houdini or Madonna, people whose fame has really propelled them into another echelon of fame. And yet, I've been surprised to learn there are a lot of mostly younger people who don't really know much about Liberace. How would you describe him for people who are unaware of his work? Mm-hmm.
You know, Liberace was really kind of a singular figure in the sense that he did a couple things that no other performer had done to that point, back to the 50s, let's say. First of all, he combined classical music with popular music. He was a pianist and somewhat of a singer. And then more noticeably, his flamboyance. So just over-the-top everything, over-the-top costumes, decorations, jewelry, you name it. And at that point in time, he was doing something other performers had not done and paving the way for people maybe like David Bowie or Lady Gaga. Yeah.
Sure. Now, when I've spoken to my mom about Liberace, she really remembers parts of his history that I did not know about, specifically that he was a child prodigy, in fact. He was born and raised in West Allis and West Milwaukee. What was his life like in Wisconsin as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, sort of the classic humble beginnings story. His parents worked different jobs. They ran a grocery store out of their duplex, you know, in West Allis. He lived there for about 5 years, and then they moved to West Milwaukee. And he was working jobs as a young person as well. So very much, you know, a basic kind of existence. But you're right about the prodigy, you know, as a young teenager playing with the Chicago Symphony, for example. So his father was a professional musician, couldn't make a living that way, but did play professionally, pushed Liberace very hard to learn classical piano, and he became quite good at it.
When does he really move from, you know, I don't want to say a novelty act, but when does he move from being a kid playing with the symphony to his own kind of larger-than-life persona?
Yeah, there are different moments, but I think one that stands out, one story that's often told is he was doing a show in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and would play his classical music, you know, very proficiently. And at the end of that performance, asked the audience if they had any requests. And, of course, they were not for, you know, Beethoven or Chopin. It was for popular music. And he ended up doing a number of popular songs that, of course, were very easy for him to play, but that the audience particularly enjoyed and sang along with. And that was a moment for him to realize that, hey, this boring stuff, as he called it, the classical music, is great to a point, but it's not my passion, for one thing, and it's also not what animates most people. So he figured out that he could combine the two, dazzle people with his classical piano playing, but then also get into popular music and have them play along, so to speak.
Now, he really ascends to the highest of heights of celebrity at that time. He was comparable, as your piece mentions, to someone like Elvis, mm-hmm. who everyone will be quite familiar with. But despite West Allis being his hometown, there's really little there to memorialize him. What are the kinds of tributes that we've seen in Wisconsin to this late artist?
Yeah, that's really the point of my piece, is asking this question. So, you know, I grew up near Milwaukee in Cedarburg, and as a kid was vaguely familiar with Liberace. And then as I grew older, a little more aware of the fact that he was a colossal success. But it didn't really resonate for me until this past November. There was a one-man show called Liberace at Milwaukee Chamber Theater. And, of course, the person who played that dressed like Liberace, tried to sound like Liberace, and was also a very accomplished pianist. And it became visceral for me to hear about his upbringing, his success, and sort of see him, you know, as portrayed by this actor. And it just left me to wonder. I thought, you know, I'm from Wisconsin. I lived near West Allis for 25 years. I don't remember ever seeing anything remembering him in West Allis. And I thought, this is not a city with lots and lots of famous sons and daughters, right? So I was just struck by that. It made me want to go out and, first of all, find out, am I correct? Is there really nothing to remember him? And if not, why not? And, you know, when I did the research, no statue, no street, no plaza, not even a plaque. And it just was kind of amazing to me that that was the case. And so I set about to try to find out why.
Now, this does seem to be part of a larger theme here in Milwaukee. I recently spoke with someone from the LGBTQ History Project about Les Petits Bonbons. They're an internationally recognized group of artists from Cudahy, who similarly failed to have been memorialized by their hometown. Is that part of why Liberace has failed to have the same kind of memorials that we see for people, as your piece mentions, like Les Paul?
Right. I do think that's a big part of it. It's not the whole explanation, but it's certainly a big part of it. In doing my research, talking to people in West Allis, talking to people who've written about Liberace, the fact that he was a gay man and a flamboyant one at that, the way he dressed, the way he carried himself, quite in contrast with West Allis. As the Historical Society president in West Allis told me, West Allis is pretty meat and potatoes, you know, and I think that's a fair description. So I think one reason is that it was difficult for a city like that, at least back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, to embrace a gay man and a flamboyant one at that. But there's some other factors, too. He did not have a long-time partner, a spouse, who maybe would have picked up the mantle on this and to create some sort of memorial, did not have children. So I think that's also in the mix. And then finally, just passage of time, right? So if people are memorialized, it's often maybe later in their life or soon after they pass away. But now we're talking about decades have gone by. There's plenty of people now in West Allis who maybe don't even know the name Liberace.
Now, it's my understanding that Liberace wasn't openly gay, at least for much of his career. But at the same time, that was kind of a central theme where many, many women fans especially were like, oh, Liberace can't be gay.
There are some real anomalies. You know, I think the biggest part of his audience, of his fan base, were middle-aged and older women and just adored this sweet, you know, gentle, polite, happy young man and didn't entertain the thought or couldn't imagine that he was gay. And he went to great lengths. You know, here's a guy who had such amazing success, you know, two stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, not just one. 30 million people watching his TV show every week, you know, 6 gold records, on and on and on. Highest paid entertainer in the world at one point in his career. So he was, you know, very motivated to protect all of that and, you know, further his career. And so he was very private about his homosexuality and went to the point of denying that he was gay, was engaged to women, I believe, 3 different times, you know, never got married. Ironically, there was a British newspaper that wrote about him and stated or strongly implied that he was gay. He sued and won for defamation. Now, normally you don't win a defamation suit if what was printed is true. But in that case, you know, he had carried himself in such a way and had always denied being gay that was the image that lasted until near his death. He did contract AIDS and die, and eventually at that point it became public information that he was in fact gay.
Yeah. For a man who went to such lengths to ensure at least an element of privacy in his sexual life, it's a bit of a tragic irony that he would die in a way that so many people felt proved that he was gay.
And that may be part two of Wino Memorial. So it wasn't, you know, he's homosexual man, flamboyant, dies of AIDS at a time when that, you know, was terrifying the nation, the world, understandably so. And so a lot of stigma attached to that. It's not to say he didn't have relationships with men. He did. And there was one that, you know, fell apart and ended up, the two of them were estranged. And some of the rumors that came out, you know, were a result of that. So, yeah, he really did have to fight very hard. But amazingly, when you think compared to the way things are today, was largely successful in keeping all of that private until the very end.
Now, there is, for people who've been to West Milwaukee, there's an auditorium named after Liberace. Are there any current efforts to memorialize him in other ways in either West Milwaukee, West Allis, or the Milwaukee area more generally?
And that was another thing that surprised me about the lack of recognition of him in West Allis. You know, normally smaller communities are happy to embrace someone who was born in their town, even if they only lived there maybe 10 minutes, you know. But it struck me that West Milwaukee, which is only a few thousand people, whereas West Allis is 60,000, you know, West Milwaukee decided, we're going to do something. And they named a school auditorium after him, a pretty significant thing. And even maybe people who've driven by it have mentioned to me, oh, yeah, I've seen that auditorium. So there's at least some awareness. But, you know, I started reporting on this story in December, and along the way was trying to keep tabs on, gee, is there any effort in West Allis to name something for him? And I want to be clear that this is not a crusade on my part. This is me asking a question as a curious resident, curious journalist, why is there no memory of him? In February, the city put out a sort of semi-formal survey of residents to what should we name a street after, and I think they came up with maybe a dozen suggestions, and Liberace was one of them, but he didn't make the list of finalists. So I'm aware of no efforts now to name anything for him. The current mayor, Dan Devine, who's been in office a long time, has indicated he's open to that, and he's noted that over the years there have been some attempts. A prior mayor many years ago suggested, hey, maybe something should be named after him, and the Historical Society, you know, took some tentative steps. So there have been attempts over the years, nothing really strong, and there's nothing ongoing now that I'm aware of.
You would imagine with a last name like Devine, he might be pretty amenable to that.
Yeah, I think he's open to the idea. He's certainly not looking to, from what I could tell, take the lead on something like this. But he, you know, talked about the value in being able, if something like that were created, some kind of memorial, the value of being able to teach residents. I mean, there's not even anything in the West Allis School District curriculum that mentions Liberace. It's just amazing. So, you know, I think that at least to the extent that a mayor would have an influence on that, he seems at least open to the idea and supporting something if something credible were put forward, but remains to be seen.
All right. Well, we will see what the future holds. Tom, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you, Joy.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places.
Tom Kircher is a local writer whose piece on Liberace was featured in this month's Milwaukee magazine. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.
The park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well.